And now they go down to Eretz Mitzrayim. And Eretz Mitzrayim was a place where there was a lot of food. And everything was okay down there except for one thing. Avram knows the people in Mitzrayim are very big Rishoyim. Very, very schlecht. And they make a lot of trouble. And so he says to Sarai, "You're very beautiful. And if the people of Mitzrayim see you, they will take you away to marry you. And if they find out I'm your husband, they're going to kill me." So Sarai, "You're going to hide in a box. And you're not going to come out. And when we go to a place to live, you'll come out and you'll be in the room there and you'll never go outside. You'll never go shopping. You'll never go for a walk. Because we're going to be in Mitzrayim only for a while till the hunger is over. And I'm going to keep you secret. And that way nobody will see you and nobody will take you away." And Sarai says to Avram, "Well, what happens if somebody does see me? What's going to happen then?" Avram says, "Then you're going to have to say, not that you're my wife, but that you're my sister. We'll say we're sister and brother. And that way, they're not going to kill me to go marry you, because they're not going to know we're married." Nakinalach, is it a lie that she's his sister? Not really, because Sarai was really Avram's niece, and he was her uncle. There were three brothers, Avram, Haran, and Nachor. There were three brothers. Avram, Haran, and Nachor. These are three brothers. Haran had two children. Now, Haran is Avram's brothers, right? Okay, the children of Haran, actually he had three children, but two children I'm going to tell you about were Loit. Loit was Haran's son, and Sarai was Haran's daughter. So, Avram and Haran are brothers. Avram's brother's daughter is Sarai. That means Avram is her uncle, and she is his niece. Is that right? Now, Avram married his brother's daughter. Avram married Haran's daughter. Now, close relatives call each other brothers and sisters. Let's say you have two cousins, and they're very close. They play each other all the time. So they feel like brothers. So if they say they're brothers, even though they're not really brothers, they're like brothers, it's not really a lie, because they're family. And some family call each other brothers and sisters, even though they're cousins and aunts and uncles and nieces and nephews. So when Avram said, "I'm your brother," and she said, "I'm your sister," it's not really a lie. And so, kindalach, Avram put Sarai in a big box, and he put on top of her clothes and other stuff, and she was lying there on the wagon, and they go down to Mitzrayim, and they have to go through the gate to get in. And by the gate, there are guards that have to check to see who's coming in and what they're bringing in. Like if you ever went to Canada, by the border, you have to stop the car, and there's special police guards there, and they ask you questions, and sometimes they check your suitcases. This is in any country when you go in, what happens? Because they want to see what's happening, what are they bringing in. Maybe there's something dangerous, maybe there's something that we don't want in our country, or you have to pay taxes. Let's say you buy a whole bunch of things in America, and you want to take them, let's say, to a different country. And the guards say, "What do you have?" And you say what you have. They say, "Okay, if you want to bring this in, you have to pay us money. Because you could have bought it by us, but you bought it outside, you're bringing it in, you have to pay us money to bring it in." This is called taxes. And the guards will make you pay taxes. And so Avram came to the gate, and they had suitcases on the wagon, and the guards say, "What's in these suitcases? Because if there's something in here, we have to make you pay taxes." Avram says, well, you know, just some clothes and some food, you know, a few things and that's it, some shoes. Yeah, what's in that big box over there? Looks like a big box of vegetables or something. Yeah, just vegetables, green peppers. Oh, a big box of green peppers. Well, you only have to pay us a dollar tax, that's all, for green peppers. Then the guards say, wait a minute. We don't see inside of that box. Maybe it's not green peppers. Maybe it's fruit. It's worth more than vegetables. Maybe it's oranges. You have to pay $5. Avram says, yeah, it's oranges. It's oranges in that box. I forgot. So pay $5. Hey, wait a minute. Maybe it's wheat, because wheat is more expensive than oranges. So then maybe you'd have to pay $10. Avram says, yeah, it's full of wheat. I'll pay $10. Avram doesn't want them to open up the box. Hey, wait a minute. It could be wheat, but it could be silver, because we don't see inside of that box. Maybe there's silver in that box. You'd have to pay $100. Avram says, okay, I'll pay $100. It's silver. I say, wait a minute. If it's already silver in there, it could also be gold. We don't know what's in that box. If it's full of gold, you have to pay $500. Yeah, I forgot. It's gold. I'll pay $500. Avram just did not want them to open the box. And when the other guards said, hey, something is fishy over here. We said green peppers. He said green peppers. We said oranges. He said oranges. We said wheat. He said wheat. We said silver, he said silver. We said gold, he said gold. Everything we said, he said that's in there. It must be he doesn't want us to look inside because there's something more valuable than gold. Let's go open up the box and look inside. And they opened up the box. And they saw something was lying covered up over there. And they said, let's look at the bottom and what's over here. And they uncovered and they saw it is Sarai. Hey, look, it's a beautiful lady. He's hiding this beautiful lady. Oh, that's why he was tricking us. He wanted not that we should find this beautiful lady. Who's this lady over here? Is this your wife? Oh, she's beautiful. Avram says, no, she's not my wife, she's my sister. You know, well, what's your sister doing inside of a box? She was tired, you know, she was sleeping. I didn't want to wake her up, she's very tired from the traveling. Oh, well, your sister is very beautiful. You know what? She should get married. And we know who she should marry because she's so beautiful. There's one person in Mitzrayim who loves to marry such a beautiful lady, and that is Paroi, the king. Let's take her to Paroi to get married to Paroi. And now the guards take Sarai to Paroi's palace. And Avram is going, and Lot is going. And Lot says to Avram, ha! And you believe in Hashem. Look, Hashem says to go and he's going to give you brachas and give you a country and give you children. Where did you end up? You're in Mitzrayim. You think you're going to be here for a while just to eat and just to keep alive. And now what's happening? My sister has to go and marry a goy, the king of Mitzrayim. And once we're in the palace, we'll probably never get out. What kind of Hashem is this? Things are getting worse and worse. And if we lived in a place in Daven Tegetchkes, we'd have food, we wouldn't have any problems, everything would be okay. Now, Kindalach, this is another test. Is Avram going to give up and just say, I don't believe in Hashem? Or is he going to say, Hashem is doing everything for the good, and you'll see everything will work out just fine with Hashem's help? What's Avram going to say? Everything is from Hashem. He knows what's happening. This is only a test. Shh. And now they go inside of the palace. Over there by Paro's palace, there are 400 doors. And beyond the doors is a big yard full of magic animals. And these magic animals are very dangerous. And whoever doesn't have permission to be there, to come in to the palace, the magic animals will go and eat them up, or bite them, or sting them with poison. And, of course, they know that if they try to run away from there without permission, they'll never get past the magic animals. So they're trapped in the palace. And now they go into Paro's room. And on either side, guarding his room, are two big monster animals. And if you try to start up with Paro, the two monster animals will go and eat you up. And they go in front of Paro. And the officers say, Paro, we brought you a present. Look what we have for you. A beautiful lady to marry. Oh, Paro says, oh, she's beautiful. Oh, what's your name? My name is Sarai. Who's this man and this other man? This is my brothers, Avram and Lloyd. Paro says, oh, brothers. Oh, I'll give you good prizes and good presents, and I'll take good care of you, and you'll dance by the chasana. And this lady, Sarai, and me, we are going to get a chasana. Oh, what a good day I'm having. Okay, guards, tell the band to get ready. Tell the cooks to make food. Invite all of my friends, and get my nice suit ready and polish my crown. And tomorrow, we're going to make a big chasana. And Paro was jumping up and down. He was so happy. He was running around, giggling and laughing. Oh, I'm going to get married to her. She's such a nice lady. And that night, Kinalach, the cooks were cooking all the food. The band was tuning up the instruments, getting ready to play. And the servants were setting up the tables, and they were cleaning the floors, and they were going around knocking on doors, inviting everybody. And Paro was sleeping in his pajamas with a big smile on his face, so happy he's getting a nice chasana. And Sarai was up at night saying Tehillim and crying, begging Hashem, I don't want to marry this guy. All I want to do is get out of here and go back to Eretz Canaan. Eretz Israel, I don't want to be in Mitzrayim. And Lloyd is draying Avram as a cup. Look, what's going to happen to my sister? What is Hashem doing to us? He's making more trouble than good. What's going on over here? But listen, it'll be a fun wedding anyway. And Paro says he's going to give us prizes and presents and money. That's going to be good. Oh, I'll have a lot of fun with all my money buying all the stuff I want. And Avram says, Lloyd, finish the cup. Sarai will not marry Paro. There won't be a chasana. And we'll get out of here just fine. What? Get out of here? You saw the magic animals in the yard? You saw the monsters by Paro's door? You saw the magic bears and lions and teeth and snakes and poison bees flying around? Are you kidding? I wouldn't try to run out of here for anything in the world. Avram says, we don't have to run away. Believe, don't worry about it. Hashem is not going to make my Sarai marry the goy Paro for nothing in the world. Now, leave me alone. I want to say some Tehillim and learn Torah. Hashem will help. Well, Lloyd says, I'm going to sleep because I think tomorrow's going to be a chasana, and at least I want to have fun at the chasana. And that night, Sarai is davening. And Avram is davening. And Paro is sleeping in his pajamas with a big smile on his face. His crown is all polished. And he's dreaming about dancing at the chasana and all the fun he's going to have. And now, Kinalach, the malachim and the shemayim are also looking down. And they ask Hashem, what's going to happen to the tzedekis? Are you really letting her to marry Paro? After all of these years she's doing mitzvahs and she's teaching people Torah and she doesn't think about herself, she thinks about helping others. And here they left their home in Haran to go and to Eretz Canaan, and there was a hunger, and they go down to Mitzrayim. Are you going to let her marry Paroi? And Hashem says, okay, who's ready to help Avram and Sarai? I need a good shliach. Well, Malach Aviel came again. I'll go down. I'm not afraid of those magic animals and those monsters. And so Hashem gave Malach Gabriel a big stick, and he says, have fun and do a good job. And that night, Kindalach, Malach Gabriel flew down from the Himmel, and he came down, not through the gates, because he's a malach, and not past the magic animals, and all the different traps, and all the different guards and monsters. He came right through the ceiling, and right into Paroi's room, l'chatchila reber, because he's a malach Hashem. And he sees over there, Paroi sleeping in pajamas with a smile on his face, with his little toys in his bed. And he says, happy Paroi, you're not going to be happy tomorrow, because Malach Gabriel is here. And he goes to Paroi's feet, and he puts his hands on Paroi's feet. And if here's the bed over here, he picks up Paroi's feet and he takes them and he smashes them against the wall. Bang! And it's against the wall. Bang! Into the ceiling. Bang! 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 And he puts Paroi back in bed. And Paroi wakes up. Oh! Hey! Ah! Oh, my head! Oh, my side! My stomach! My feet! What happened here? And the guards came in. Paroi, what's wrong? Oh, I'm hurting. I feel like somebody smashed me in the wall and the ceiling. And the guards say, Paroi, you had a bad dream. It must be that you're overexcited about the chasana tomorrow. Have a good sleep, so you'll have plenty of rest, so you can have a good time dancing by your chasana. And Paroi goes back to sleep. And Malach Gabriel comes back out. He can make himself anyway invisible. The guards never saw him. And he takes the stick that Hashem gave him, this special stick. And Paroi in his pajamas is lying there. He takes the stick. Bing, 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 bing. He's banging Paroi from his head to his toes, smashing him all around. And Paroi wakes up screaming, oi, 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 oi. And the guards come in, and Paroi is full of boo-boos, smashed up from head to toe, and he's crying. Shh. And his toys fell all over the floor, and his blankets fell off, and he's got boo-boos. And Paroi is screaming, oh, I got terrible beat up. Something's happening, I don't know. I'm being punished. And so Paroi starts to think, you know, he was a very smart Paroi. He was a king, he was a smart man. He says, what's happening that I should get such a punishment? Something terrible. What am I doing wrong? Oh, maybe because I'm going to get married to that lady. Maybe I'm going to get married. Maybe there's something wrong with getting married to the lady. Maybe she's married. Oh, but she says she's not married. She says the man is her brother, not her husband. Now the thing is like this. When they were inside the palace, Sarai told Paroi, look, he's my brother because he's my cousin, but really we're also married. The reason we have to say brother and sister, we're afraid that people will kill him and take him away. But that's only a regular person. You're a king. A king has to be better than a regular person, so I'm sure you'll understand, and you're not going to kill my husband, and you'll let us out of here. So please. Paroi said, oh, no. Your sister and brother, that much I'm going to listen. You're married, that much I'm not going to listen. I'm not going to listen to that. I'm only going to listen to the part of your brother and sister. You're married, I'm not going to listen to that part. We're still going to get married. Now Paroi was a big Rasha. And he was ready to marry her, even if she was going to be married already. Now, is somebody, Chas Shalom, allowed to marry somebody who's married already? No. Even Goyim, as a part of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noyach, are not allowed to do such a terrible Aveda. And Paroi figured out that this is why he's going to be punished. That's why he was punished. And the next day, Kindalach, Paroi woke up in the morning. He went out in his pajamas. And he said to everybody, no chasana today! No chasana today! I'm too sick and I'm full of boo-boos. No chasana today! And the band put away their instruments. And the servants took down the tables and the chairs. And the servants went back in the city and told people not to come to the chasana. And the people in the kitchen ate up all the food. And Paroi calls Avram and Sarai. He calls Avram. And he says, first of all, daven for me that I should get better. I'm so sick. Because if I don't get better, I'm going to die. I'm so sick from all these boo-boos. And I'm sorry. But why didn't you say that you're married? And Avram says, look, you and me know that you knew about it, only you're a big Rasha, you didn't want to listen. And now you got punished. Now I'm going to daven for you if you're going to let us go out of here. And you're not going to keep us here anymore. I'll daven for you, but you have to let us out of here. And Avram davened to Hashem. And Malach Raphael came, who's the doctor Malach, and he made Paroi's boo-boos go away and make him feel better. But now Paroi was very embarrassed. He had called everybody to a chasana, and now the chasana was off. What if people find out that he wanted to marry a married lady, and he got beat up in his pajamas, and that's why he didn't get married? Is he going to look good, or will it be embarrassing for Paroi? So he cries and he says, Avram, please, don't tell anybody what happened. Keep it a secret. And I'll give you a lot of presents. And I'll give Lloyd a lot of presents. And you know what? I'll give you guards. They'll take you out of the palace. Everybody will keep away from you. And you'll stay in Mitzrayim until you can go home. And the quicker you go home, the better. And you wouldn't tell anybody what happened to me, that I got boo-boos and beat up in my bed in my pajamas, and I couldn't marry the lady who I wanted to marry. I'll be so embarrassed. And so Paroi gave Avram and Lloyd silver and gold, animals, servants, cows, donkeys, all kinds of expensive things. And he gave Sarai also presents. And he made guards, and he says, take them away out of the palace and out of Mitzrayim, or to live in Mitzrayim and keep everybody away. Nobody should bother them. And now Avram and Sarai and Lloyd are leaving the palace with guards protecting them, and the magic animals are keeping away from them. And Avram says to Lloyd, You see what happened? We came down to Mitzrayim with nothing. You know, they had no money left because they spent it all for food. And now they're big millionaires. And they don't have to run away. They have guards with them. And Lloyd is so happy. He says, yes, everything was good. Everything was good. It wasn't bad. But now, if we stay in Mitzrayim, you know what's going to happen? All the Shlachta Mitzrayim, they'll come and steal everything away from us. Because the guards will stay around for a while, but people are going to probably try to rob us from all the stuff that we have. Oh, now we're in big trouble. All of a sudden, the news came on. Now, how did the news come on? There was no radios in those days. How do people know the news? Once a day, or a few times a day, in the middle of the marketplace, somebody would get up on a box, and they would tell everything what's happening, because their job was to find out whatever's happening, and they had a loud voice, and they would yell and scream whatever's happening in the city. If there's a meeting, or if there's something happening. And then somebody from far away usually would be there, and he would get up on the box and scream out what's happening farther away. And the news came on, somebody got up on a box and he says, everybody listen, I came from Eretz Canaan, and I've got good news for anybody that is interested to go to Eretz Canaan. The hunger is over. It has been raining and there's plenty of food and water, and the hunger is over. Whoever wants to go to Eretz Canaan should go there, because everything is fine now and the hunger is over. And Avram says, see light, not only we got rich and we got all these presents, we can go back to Eretz Canaan. And now it's better than before. We came to Eretz Canaan poor, and now we're big millionaires. And so can the Lach. They took all their money and all their things. And on the way back to Eretz Canaan, they went back and they paid back the money they borrowed. Because when you borrow money, it's a mitzvah to pay it back. And they had borrowed a lot of money to live on. And now they paid it back. And now they're going back to Eretz Canaan. Now, Lot and Avram became millionaires. Avram had many, many animals. Cows and sheep and camels and servants. And Lot had many, many animals. And how do they feed the animals? They let them go in the fields to eat up the grass. There were many hefker fields that nobody owned. And they would let them eat the grass. But what happened when they came through a city or through a town? Now you see the difference between Lot and Avram. Because Avram would have a mask for each animal. I don't mean a Purim mask, like a funny clowny face. It's called a muzzle. He closes up his mouth that he's not able to eat, because Avram did not want them to go into people's yards and eat up the grass and the flowers. And Avram did not want them to go into fields that people own and steal food, because it's stealing. That's, you go to a person's yard and take something out of the yard, even if it's a little flower, it's stealing it. And since Avram kept Torah mitzvahs, he was careful not to steal. And Lot didn't care. He would go through a town, his cows would go all over the place, his sheep would go all over the place in people's yards, and people would be in their house all of a sudden. There are 50 cows in their yard, eating up everything in the yard. Hey, get your cows out of my yard. What are you doing? This is my yard. They're eating up everything. And Lot had chutzpah. And he said, it's not your yard. It's my yard. I'm letting the cows go in my yard. What do you mean your yard? I never saw you before. How can you say this is your yard? It's our yard. We're living in this house many years. You're saying it's your yard? How can you say such a thing? Lot said, simple. See that man over there with the beard? His name is Avram. Hashem is giving Avram the whole land of Canaan. And Avram has no children. You know what's going to happen when Avram dies? I am the next closest relative to Avram. So I'm going to get everything. And the whole land will be mine, including your yard. What's the difference if it's going to be later or now? Just like your yard is going to be mine later, I'll let the cows go now into your yard, into my yard. It's my yard now. Now, of course, we know that this is not a true thing. Because even if you're getting something later, does it mean it's yours now? If mommy says, there's a red bicycle in the store, a beautiful bicycle, And in 2 weeks is your birthday. And if you're a good boy, Lee Nender, Tati and I are going to buy you that bicycle for your birthday. Now, the next day, the boy goes into the bike store. He finds the red bike. He climbs on it and he rides it out of the store. And the man says, "Hey, bring back that bike. What are you doing riding my bike out of the store?" He says, "Your bike? It's my bike. In 2 weeks, my mommy and Tati will buy it for me. So I want to ride it now to see how it is." Now, Kinalach, in 2 weeks it'll be his bike. Does it mean it's his now? But this is how Lot did it.